outside the box of religious obligation lies a road less travelled, into the heart of the father's affection. Slinging freedom all over the place, this is the God Gene. The God Gene. The God Gene.
So look at you, you're stealing my notes and everything. Didn't you bring any notes over here?
No, no, I don't have time for notes. I have three children.
Oh, well, geez. I don't know what you were thinking, but this is your now fourth podcast over a few years.
Yeah, three in what, 2 months?
Yeah, now.
I'm not
yeah,
sure. That's maybe too much of me.
Are you comfortable? No, this will be there's a lot of Brad between this. Though.
Good.
I think I appreciate, to be honest, having a younger female voice, just younger generation, a female voice, because, you know, we're pretty mailed up when Brad's in here and we're talking about stuff.
Yeah.
But I think people appreciate hearing you. In fact, I had two people on the last trip I was on back in Georgia area, just unsolicited. I just love it when your daughter's on the podcast.
Oh, good.
And not all of them were young moms. Some of them were.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope it's helpful.
Really love a different voice, and that's no knock on Brad. I'm sure I could Brad do it with you, and then yeah. I can get out of the way, and that might even be better because he'll. But how's it doing it with your old dad, man? Is that cool?
Oh yeah, it's great.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you get the inheritance still.
Yeah,
that's a good plan.
No, it's good.
You seemed a little snarky right there when you said.
No, well, that's our relationship, so people got to know that.
Yeah.
No, it's good. I enjoy kind of thinking about things in a different way and processing through some of this stuff. And I read this book and wouldn't have read it had we weren't doing – not talking about doing this. So, yeah, I found some stuff pretty valuable in there. So
neat. Well, I'm Wayne and that's Julie. And we've known each other a long time. I've known you all your life.
Yes. Did you want to say how long?
It's all your life. No, I don't mind telling how old you are. They know how old I am. I got a birthday coming up this month that this will air. So – yeah, I'm trucking on down, and then it's all kinds of old people decisions have to be made. So, yeah, but I enjoy having the conversation. I've always treasured our friendship, and
me too.
We've had some rough patches from time to time, but none in your adulthood that I'm aware of.
Yeah, so. No, it's been pretty good after
more
I left the house.
Just raising a teenager. Yeah, it's always helpful when they leave the house and come back to visit the dogs because they really love the dogs.
Yep.
That's why we have dogs.
Or you bring the dogs to college. That was a fun treat too.
Well, that was the dumbest day I've ever been involved in.
Oh, it's so great.
You hadn't heard that story. You'd been away about 6 weeks maybe in college. You're about 4 hours away. And
I think longer than that. It was a long drive. It was a long drive.
It's four and a half.
It's Sonoma State.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's four and a half the most. But we got up on a Saturday. And for me not to have anything on a Saturday, nothing. And we got up and we were making breakfast. And I just looked at Sarah. And I'm still pastoring at this time. So I've got lots of stuff for Sunday. I said, what would you like to do today? I'll do anything with you want to do. And I never, she's looking at me and said, I'm going to see Julie. Oh, gosh. Sarah's okay with road trips? I am not. Man, 4.5 hours.
Yeah, with the dogs.
So we called you, and I was hoping you were saying you were busy, and no, we couldn't see you. But yeah, we just brought one of the dogs, didn't we?
I think it was just Sierra, yeah.
Yeah, we brought Sierra, which was...
oh, man.
I don't know if we were between dogs or just the other one we stepped.
I think just left the other one at home, but Sierra was a puppy when I was a senior, so she was kind of our...
She was the one you were missing
a
ton.
Yeah, I'm missing a ton of that dog. So.
We jumped in the car, and we couldn't stay overnight, so we drove 4.5 hours. We spent about 4.5 hours with you.
We did laundry.
We had a picnic out in the thing so we could have...
The dog.
The dog with us, and then the dog almost attacked a kid at the laundromat. Remember that? Come on. And she's German Shepherd, so she didn't look the friendliest, but she was cute.
Oh, man.
And then we drove 4.5 hours home, and I still look back on that takeaway.
See, I thought it was a great day, but I didn't, you know, I just got the...
Sarah did, too. Yeah,
see the dog. I didn't make the 8-hour drive.
Sarah thought it was amazing. She had me 9 hours in the car, which for some reason she likes. Yeah, and then she had you for 4.5 hours, and...
Great. I didn't have a car on campus, so it was really hard for me to get laundry done or go do anything. I think we went to like the grocery store, and I think we even did like a Walmart, Target something run, and I got all my stuff stocked up. I remember you guys left, and I'm like, oh, this feels good.
Yeah, and you took us to some great barbecue place.
I
remember that.
Yes,
boy,
I think we went to that barbecue place every single time you came up.
There's nothing like barbecue for me.
Street.
If you want me to come back, I tell people that. You know, when people say, how do you get Wayne to come? Barbecue is helpful. Yeah, just had some in Georgia a couple times. And the other thing that's helpful is I got to tell you, chocolate cake.
Chocolate cake.
Yeah. Those two things. And I hope the leading of the Lord would give me come somewhere. Anyway, for those of you who don't know, Julie's joining us maybe monthly. And we don't even know, to be honest, where this is going. I always fly by the seat of my pants. So I'm hoping once a month having Julie in here and Brad and I doing most of the other stuff, unless we have a guest now and then, it'll be wonderful. Even though it's going to be more focused on parenting, and some of you are like, I'm done parenting. But if you're done parenting, you're probably not done grandparenting, and there's probably things you may want to explore with us. If not, then you'll know when you see Julie's going to be on the podcast, you know, go listen to somebody else. There's lots of other podcasts out there to listen to. So, and we may someday, if it just doesn't seem appropriate to the God Journey audience, we may spin this off into a separate podcast. That's what we've talked about doing over at Livestream. So,
oh boy.
The Julian Wayne show or some crazy thing. I don't know what we do. Anyway, the book we thought we'd kind of use as a tool to work through parenting issues is A Call Parenting. It's 14 gospel principles that will radically change your family. It's by Paul David Tripp. It's one that's really recommended among the Christian crowd. I want to say religiously Christian crowd, but I don't know that he totally lands in that space, and no one thinks they do. But some of this stuff... It's really good to talk about, even if we don't totally agree with everything he says. Right on?
Yeah, absolutely.
So you gave a review last time of the book. So why don't we just jump into the introduction? Those of you that want to, if you're following through with us, you may want to pause, go get the book, download it in your Kindle, read it, and jump in. But it won't be essential that you read it. We're not going to, you know, stick to it, but we'll just talk about things. One of the things he draws in this chapter is the difference between ownership parenting, or he calls it ambassadorial parenting.
Right.
Awkward word.
Yeah.
I don't know what else I would use, but that's his word.
His book,
so he gets to.
Yep. There you go.
So ambassador, and the difference is, do you own your children and therefore responsible to control them and their behavior, or are they God's children and you're just his ambassador to represent him and love him as your kids work through life?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you like that analogy? Do you like that?
I did.
Do you ever feel like you owned your kids? Or maybe the better question is, did you ever feel owned?
Never feel.
By your mom and dad. Certainly not my mom. I can do your part of the podcast too.
Yeah, you can just do it all. I can just sit over here.
Yeah.
You know, it made me stop and think about how I see my kids, and I love the idea of looking at them as God's children. I'm just here to love them, and I'm here to be a vessel for God, just to do his work that he wants to do in them, and for them just to be who they're created to be.
You keep stumbling over the word tool.
I do.
You're not using it, but you get
He uses it the whole book.
Throughout the whole book. He talks about it being a tool of God. And for some of you, that's a great analogy. You love being God's tool in the world. For me, the word causes a little
ick.
Choke in my throat. Yeah, a little, I don't want to be God's tool. I don't want God to think. If he wants to think of him as a tool, he can. I just don't think he does.
And I see what Paul's trying to use. I see how he's trying to use that in the book, and it's a common theme that God's using us for our kids. But
even the using analogy, I don't know if you heard, I use this a lot. Is there any way I, as a father, use my 39-year-old daughter that isn't creepy? And people go, well, that's not what it means. And I know it's not what it means, but I do think this religious language of God saving us to use us is weird, because love doesn't use.
Right. It doesn't imply that we're doing, that we have like a say, or if we're being used, there's something about that that just doesn't feel like I am doing it. I don't know.
I think where a relationship with God takes us is we want to be involved with God. We want to participate with him. We want to, I mean, that's why scripture calls us joint heirs with Christ Jesus. We're not slaves. We're not a tool to be used that now you're saved, I'm going to use you to save the world. But I want to walk with God into the things he's doing in my life. And if I can be helpful to the work of God in the world, which I think we're all called to be, that's very different than being used. But I remember some songs that we used to sing about God, use me, use me, use me, God. And I used to think they were great. I never had a second thought about it. But now I see them as a bit weird. even the need to be used. And I know people who find their identity in God using them. As one guy said to me, if God doesn't want to use me, I'll have no purpose to him. And I say, really, just not to be loved as his child? And then to play with him and participate with him in what he does in the world. So those of you reading the book, you're going to see that tool used a lot. Mm-hmm. You're going to see Julie and I probably convert that to vessel just because I think it's a better term. I'm a vessel of God's grace to my children rather than I'm a tool of grace to my children. To me, it makes a big difference, but I think he means it the way we mean vessel.
Right.
But I think still, so too. The word makes me choke a little bit.
Yeah.
He talked early in the introduction about once you realize you're up against the legion of rebellious ones. That's how he described how we perceive parenting. Because I'm telling you, kids don't naturally come by doing the right thing, do they?
No, they don't.
Yeah. Wow, what a challenge.
Right.
So he starts off this way, and I think some parents will relate to this. You're haunted by regret. You don't want to be, but you are. Not about anything big, but about all those little moments of failure. You remember the little promises you made that you got too busy to keep, the moments when you yelled when you should have been listening. You remember how hard it was to have children, to be fair, and how often you failed. You remember falling asleep at recitals and hope they never knew. You remember making ridiculous threats and hope they don't remember as well as you do. You remember that it was easier to announce the law than to give grace. You'd like to be free of regret, but you're not.
Yeah.
How do you think about your parenting, to be honest? You have moments of regret? Or is this the big moment in your when you think about family or not? I'm curious.
In my own little family?
Your own little family.
My own little family.
Yeah, don't judge me. Please.
That would have been fun. No.
Yeah, it would have been.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I think that I used to. I think that I can honestly say there were years ago that I would have looked back and thought I had regrets on things that I'd done or didn't do or whatever. I think I have less of that. In the past few years, I've let a lot of expectations that I have or whatever kind of just let it go.
Even of yourself?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I was hardest on myself. Hard, just everything I did, I didn't do this right or wrong. I didn't give any grace to myself for just, it's okay. Like, I'm not a perfect parent and I don't know what I'm doing. I've never done this before. And I didn't allow any of that in my life. And so I don't know where the shift happened, but it's funny because I read this and went, yeah, I do get some of this because I feel like at some point there was a shift that happened and how I just let myself off the hook. And I'm a perfectionist. I mean, just – and I don't – that's not always, it's not a good thing all the time.
Say, it's not a merit badge.
Yeah, it's
and
not.
And you certainly didn't get it from your mother.
Yeah. It's not. But there was – and I think honestly – a lot of it happened when I had three. Like, there was something about the third child that spun everything into a tizzy. I felt like I just could not any longer keep my hands on all of it. So I just did the best that I could do. And it was something I think over those few years, I feel like I was trying and failing. And I have a husband that works a lot, has a very demanding job. And so a lot of it falls on me. And I just couldn't handle it all. And at some point in there, I just felt like I didn't have to do it all. My kids are okay. As long as I'm loving them every day. And that shift happened, I feel like, in the past couple of years.
I think most parents, though, if you ask them, how's parenting going? Do you think you would hear more regret or more joy?
Hmm.
That I think, and it may be skewed, because when people talk to me about parenting, they usually feel like they're really a bad parent. And yes. they'll do this. They'll go back. Because every parent, even guys that write books like this, you know, they've had these moments. That's why he knows about them. These moments of being too busy to keep a promise or making a threat you'd never want to follow through on and being angry with them and yelling instead of listening. Every parent knows that space.
Yeah.
But it's whether you live in that regret of your failure or you look at the other things where you've really surrendered more of your life than maybe you should have and really gave and love and really those are the things that parents need to focus on.
We
too often, and particularly when kids go bad later in life or they go more prodigal on you, parents really then look back at my mom, God rest her soul, was that way. Whether my brothers went through a divorce, whether one brother had MS, mom would always blame herself. It was always her fault. She'd have been a better parent. Her kids wouldn't have gone through this stuff. And she had lots of regrets, which is painful.
Yeah.
I don't. I can look back and say, I can joke around with you and Andy, and I can say, gosh, yeah, was I the perfect parent? There were moments, man, of my anger, and there were moments of all kinds of things that I could look back and regret.
Yeah.
But overall, I felt like Sarah and I, probably more due with Sarah and her graciousness and calling me off the wolf, come back to me. Don't kill the children
don't
over
kill
this.
Kill them yet.
Yeah, I'm glad Sarah and I talked about a lot of things before we talked to you guys.
Yeah.
That her helping dial me back at times, and sometimes me pulling her back from the brink,
right,
was very helpful.
Yeah.
But yeah, we all have those moments. But overall, man, and I think maybe this chapter gets to that, because the idea of ownership means I'm responsible for what my kids become.
Right.
And now he describes it as, you do not, as a parent, have the power to change your children.
Just so good. You don't.
Is that a big exhale?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. I wish I'd have known that, because I felt responsible for everything my kids did.
Yeah.
And being a pastor, you know,
yes. Like,
even though you weren't pastor's kids, being a pastor.
Right.
Yeah. I felt like, man, my identity was wrapped up in how you two behaved.
Yeah.
And if you two.
And we felt that as kids that we.
No.
Oh yeah.
We were good at filtering that. So you would never. Yeah. No. Uh-huh. I'm only kidding, people. I know how poorly I parented this child. In fact, in some of your early days of parenting, I would say, when I saw you really get angry with the kids and really ramp up the, I'm the mom and I'll kill you if you don't, you didn't say it that way, but I'd always say, Julie learned her parenting from me. That's what I would say. She learned it. But I've watched God change you.
Yeah.
I have watched the first time, I mean, because Amy, would you say she's been a little strong-willed in her younger days, especially?
Yes. I like to say she's a lot of you.
Oh, we always thought she was a lot of you, because you were a very strong-willed child. I'd come home at night from the office, and I remember Sarah handing you to me some night saying, I do not want to see this child again the rest of the night, because, man, you were locking horns with that lady. So, yeah, but that was somewhat like me, too, I'm sure. I'm sure my mom would say the way you were, even into my teenage years and my adult years, probably I was that way.
Yeah.
Don't affirm that. Say, oh, damn. Yeah. But it's that whole idea of, man, I feel like I'm being reflected on.
Yeah.
If you don't do well.
Yeah.
Or I'm to blame if you go through some horrible event in your life. When he gets into ownership parenting and he says the statement of, you don't have the power to change your children, that alone would have spoken so much freedom. Which is why he says, you want to be, and this is a better word than tool too, you want to be a conduit of the grace of God to be unfolding to your children.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I read that line. I remember where I was. I was sitting in my car at pickup, and I think I read that line like 5 times just to let it like sink in. Because, I mean, I have 3 kids. I'm in the middle of this parenting thing. And there, I mean, that hit me like a ton of bricks. That is such a freeing statement that I can't. And I feel like that's all we're trying to do as parents, is to change our kids. All the things they're doing wrong, we've got to fix it. And how do we fix it? And how do we make it so that they see that what they're doing is wrong? And I can't do it. I just don't have the power to change them.
And unfortunately, don't you think that's how a lot of people view God? God's in my life just to fix me. And here's where you're wrong, and you've got to do better. And I don't think people journey well with the fix-it God, or kids will enjoy growing up in a home where they're always falling short, never good enough, always being disciplined, sitting in the corner again.
Yeah.
Because I know nobody likes to admit this, they're born fleshy little creatures, right? They're born self-preferring. I want what I want, and I don't care what you say and do. And, you know, it becomes a power issue between so many. I'm bigger. I can make you. I can withhold food. I can make you go to bed early. I can do all kinds of things to make your life miserable.
Yeah.
But once you've gone down that road with your kids.
Yeah. It's.
Because what he says at the end of this, the whole regret thing, he says, we look at our children as belonging to us, and we end up doing things that are short-sighted, not helpful in the long run, more reactive than goal-oriented, and outside of a great, big, wise plan, better at giving our kids rules than extending to them grace.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I love that stuff.
Yeah. I do too.
I'd like to start all over with you. We just start parenting all. Yeah.
I don't want to start all over.
With me? Or your kids?
I don't want. I'm good where I'm at.
No, I don't really want to parent again either. It's too bad, though, that God gives kids to rookies.
Yeah. I mean, you have no idea. I mean, what you're doing. I mean, I remember feeling that way with Amy when she first started, you know, acting out or whatever. I'm like, I have no idea. You do what you know. You do what you, you know, the react, you react to all of that as opposed to taking a step back. And I think that's what I do differently now. Instead of reacting, I always kind of stop and take a breath and let's, you know, figure out a way to talk about this with them. So I'm not just reacting to the situation because, yeah, what my reaction is usually I want to scream and yell and why the heck are you doing this? And I've told you a million times not to. Like, that's a reaction that I want to have. Right. But it's stopping myself and taking that breath and taking that moment to be like, knowing that's not effective, that is not doing anybody any good. And most cases, it's just riling them up more as opposed to let's talk about this and what's really going on here.
Which isn't to say you don't discipline your children.
Oh, yeah. No, that's – we discipline. Yeah. They're not running free over there. Yeah, do whatever you want to do.
Yeah, and sometimes, I mean, even you even use me as discipline. You can't go to grandpa's if you blah, blah, blah. I'm like, well, hold it. How did I get involved in this? Yeah, sometimes I'm a carrot. Right?
Yeah, well, you know, sometimes we make mistakes. And I've learned that too. Don't, you know, make threats you're probably not going to go through with. Yeah.
Or you've always, I don't know that you've ever not gone through with them.
I am pretty much a stickler on that.
Yeah. And I think if you're going to make the threat, unless it's absolutely ridiculous, I mean, kids got to know you're serious about what you say.
Yeah.
But I do like how you pause. And even when you find out something, your child may not find out, you know, for a couple of days.
Right.
You're not interested in, I've got to jump in there right now and jump down that child's throat. And then we just recently had one of those incidences and you were sitting over lunch talking to mom and I about it. And I just went, man, I love the way that whole worked out. I think I wrote you an email too, say, I love that. I would not have thought of the things that you said to your children, but because you took 2 days to process it with God, and I assume with Tyler too.
Yep.
You guys found a way to have this conversation with one of your kids that I hope is I went out of town after that, so I don't know how that's currently going on, but I'm sure we'll find out, just not on this podcast.
Yeah.
Sorry, people. But I love the idea of ownership is these kids are mine. They reflect on me. I'm going to change them. I'm going to draw life from their achievements. And the whole idea of being an ambassador of God is they're God's kids.
Yeah.
I'm not taking my identity from how well behaved my children are.
Right.
Or how well they're, and this is for older parents. You know, parents, you've got kids in your 20s and 30s. They're not walking with God. They maybe rejected what you think. You think that, and I hear this from parents all the time, my kids have rejected God. And I'll say, and I'll bet that's not true. I think they may have rejected the religion you raised them in.
Right.
But then you have too. Many of them have as well. They just didn't see a difference between the God who is and the religion they were raised in. So they reject one. They think they're rejecting the other. But I like that he says, God, your kids belong to him.
Yeah.
He's never going to let them go. He's going to be with them through their life, inviting them back to his grace and life. And all you are is a doorway, a vessel, to help them see the grace of God as they can. Not, and this is what so many parents do. Once their kids, they feel like their kids are not of faith, every time they're with their child, they have to bang on the faith door. And you got to come back to Jesus. And I had one parent I heard say their kid last week, I need you to come to Jesus before I die because I don't want you to go to hell. And,
oh, goodness.
Yeah. And the kid's just going, that's not.
Yeah.
Because what you get a kid to do from that is they may pretend to come to Jesus, so you'll get off their back.
Right.
But they're not really going to find him.
Right.
And it's the finding of him that's so important. And so you've got this, I mean, you do have discipline and wanting your kids to do well at school you know, not to jump on their appointments and do all that.
Oh, yeah.
And at the same time, and this is, I think we got a start on this later in life. You were 14 and 16. You were 16. Andy was 14.
Yep.
When Sarah and I went through the most transformative years of our life and marriage and learn not to try to be loved by God, but learn to live as his beloved. So I'm always grateful you guys got the tail end of that in the home.
Yeah.
But
because I felt that there was a shift, there was a change even in your parenting and even in the expectations that we felt. So yeah, it was,
you want to talk more about that? That'd be interesting.
Well,
something we've never talked about.
I don't know. We have.
I'm going to podcast with you every day just because I want to hear all this stuff. No, it's interesting because I felt like it did too, but
and it wasn't right away. I mean, it wasn't something that happened overnight, but I think that if I
well, not for Sarah. Of course I did. Yeah, I'm not kidding.
Of course. No, but I think that I felt, and I'm in a, like my, I think more towards my senior year, getting ready to leave for college. And it was also, I had turned 18 and you guys had kind of really not left me to my own, but kind of said, you know, you're 18. So, you know, be respectful, but let's, you
know. We're here to help.
Yeah.
If you want our help, ask for it.
Yeah. And that kind of may have coincided, but I felt like there was so many expectations when you were in your pastor role. And
wow, this is so hurtful.
And I felt like we always had to live up to that, whatever those expectations were, to be.
Yeah, but you were beach babe at high school camp. It's right? You got an award for beach babe.
And yes.
You
were
most spiritual, most helpful, most. So you fit into all that.
Yeah, I fit into all of it. So
Sarah fit into all that. Yeah. She hated it too.
I could put on the – by the time I was 16, I knew how to play the part. I'd played it for 16 years. And there was something about being outside of that.
So what you're saying is we gave you good acting lessons.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Right.
Oh, God, that's horrible.
But there was something about when that no longer existed, that there wasn't that to live up to. I could just be me. It didn't matter. I didn't have to jump through the hoops. I didn't have to play that role anymore. And there, I didn't feel it right away, but I want to say within a year or so, I mean, I felt there was a difference between you and mom and the way that we talked about things at home and in our home and how we talked about God at home. And I just felt there was a slight shift, you know, it was like 2 years before I went to college, but I did feel like something had changed and it allowed me, I think, to be more who I was.
Yeah.
And because I wasn't trying to be what was expected. So, yeah.
And what you turned out to be was pretty special.
Yeah.
I mean, you.
And I wonder, you know, it's funny because you wonder, gosh, what would have happened had I would have been jumping through the hoops for, would I still be jumping through hoops? I don't know.
I did till I was 42. So, you still might be jumping through a few hoops. Yeah.
And how freeing to have not lived that way for this long. Even when I went into college, I started jumping hoops again. And I realized pretty quick on, whoa, I got to get out of this because I'm right back where I was. And you kind of recognize, I think, what that looks like and the difference in how you feel when you're just being you and you're not trying to live up to the expectation.
Do you remember the day you told me I'd ruined you?
No.
You don't?
You ruined me.
Yeah, that's what you said.
Okay.
And you said it in a lovely way. I love the way I ruined you. Yeah. You were calling from college and you'd been to a number of churches and youth group campus kinds of Christian club things. And I remember you saying, Dad, I can't find any place.
Yes,
you've ruined me.
Yeah.
Which you didn't go on and say this, but you ruined me for grace.
Yeah.
You just couldn't sit through the legalistic, fear of hell, tormenting kind of language anymore. It was the proudest phone call I ever got. I remember hanging up going, man, I love that I have ruined her.
Yeah.
I've ruined you for legalism. I've ruined you for all that stuff and opened a door to grace. And now I watch you live it. And I tell people this when I travel, and you don't hear when I say about you when I'm traveling, but I say to people, I wish I knew at 20 what you knew at 20.
Yeah.
I wish I hadn't wasted 42 years. I mean, God used that to help me get to where I needed to be. But
Right. Man,
I've watched you live and love, and I admire your journey. I do. I think a few people get to have that trajectory of not trying to jump through hoops and perform. And yet your hunger for God grows and grows and grows.
Yep.
I love it. I love your hunger for God. I love what he's shaping in you. I couldn't be more proud of you as a dad who's gotten to watch all of it and occasionally get a voice in it. Now
and
then. Yeah. I love that. I love that you still like talking to us about these things. Ownership parenting is motivated and shaped by what parents want for their children and from their children, which doesn't sound bad. I know to a lot of particularly religious people, it's what I want for my children and from.
Yeah.
But then it gets into good parenting, which does what God intends it to do, begins with this radical and humbly recognition that our children don't actually belong to us. Mm-hmm. Rather, every child in every home, everywhere on the globe belongs to the one who created him or her. Children are God's possessions for his purposes, and that means that his plan for parents is that we would be his agents in the lives of these ones that have been formed into his image and entrusted to our care.
Yeah.
I love that. It's a great way to say it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then what's it? Parenting is not first about what we want for our children or from our children, but what God in grace has planned to do through us in our children. Which sounds a little toolistic again.
It does. But the idea behind it of just allowing God to,
That God has a purpose in our kids and a purpose for me in how I love.
Right.
That hopefully instills in them what we'll hear about in the second thing, which is a God consciousness, which I think is really good. I think that's, I think we tried hard at a young age. I always knew God was different than the religious structure we were in, that God was a real voice in the world, that God, and our kids need to come in contact with that. If they don't, then I think a lot of religious kids who drop out, not just of the religion they're in, but even drop out on God, is that there's kind of thing, God just seems like Santa Claus, you know?
Right.
My parents believe in him and the whoopee-ding, but I don't see him.
Right.
I've never heard him.
Right.
So we'll talk more about that because I think that's, so prepare. Bring some notes. Think about it. Before. And this last bit from the book, are you ready to be freed from the burden of trying to create change? And we were talking about change earlier. I'm thinking that's not just true of our kids. It's true of our kids. It's true of our spouse.
Yep.
That's true of every human being you know, our extended family members. If you're trying to change someone, you're taking God's place in their life.
Right.
I get to love. I get to share. I get to talk. I get to open doors to people. People get to choose whether to go through those doors or not.
Right.
And they get to be loved whether they do or they don't.
Right.
And I love just to be free of the burden of trying to change people or create change. And said to experience the rest that's to be found in functioning as a vessel, I'm going to change the word, of the one whose grace alone has the power to change, then this book is for you. It is meant to yank you out of the daily grind and to consider the big picture of what God is inviting you to be part of as he works in the hearts and lives of your children. It is meant to help you see how radically different parenting becomes when you quit trying to produce change and become a willing vessel of the grace that rescues, forgives, and changes. Now, if that's what the rest of the book is, I'm in. You know, I know things built on principles. It really is. These are, all principles aren't bad. So let me go to there. I don't think all principles are bad. You can't raise kids by principles alone. Mm-hmm. But if these ways of thinking get you back to that dependency on God and it says one of the things your kids need to see is that you're dependent on God too, that you're not perfect, that you have places where you're broken and you get to be dependent on God and seek their forgiveness. And all that creates an environment in which no one's trying to jump through a hoop to feign perfection.
Right.
But we're all just real people struggling with our brokenness of humanity in a fallen world, looking to know the God who made us and put us here.
Yeah.
That's good stuff.
It is good stuff. And it's something so, like, I think we started this just saying that reading that just gave me peace because I don't, you're supposed to know what to do. You're supposed to have all the answers as a parent, and I just don't. And I don't know what I'm doing. And it's okay just to say that and say, God, help me. Show me what I can do in this situation. I think that's what I want to take more time to do with my kids. Be more intentional about stopping and thinking and talking to God before I jump in and react.
Yeah. And I think you're doing that. Yeah. I think you're doing that very well. It would be so valuable if those who claim to be part of his church in the world stop trying to change everybody around them and just say the novel I've been working on that I know I keep talking about that people get upset about, but it's just that we are a doorway. And if I'm living in the light of the kingdom and you're not, you're somebody near me that's not, or you think you are maybe, and you're lost in this religious thing, I'm a doorway. There's something I could say maybe or do or a way I would love you that doesn't fix you. It just opens the door for you to see into a greater reality than you're seeing. I know that's where all the transformation in my life has come the last 25 years that we've been on this part of our journey. It's people I love and other people have just opened a door into different ways of thinking and knowing, and God's making himself known in ways that has endeared my heart. And it has never, no one tried to change me that had the most impact in changing me.
Right.
Right. The people who've tried to change me my whole life long, my former co-pastor, some in my family, people who just, you're going to change or we're not ever going to be with you again.
Right.
you know what? That's, and I step away from relationships like that. Yeah. I consider them abusive now. And so if you want to be abusive, I still love you. And if you want to open a door back to something more healthy, I'll be the first one there.
Right.
But I'm not going to be around and be the victim of your need to change me.
Right.
Because even if you're right, that's not going to help me.
Yeah.
If you're right, then just open a door and let God do the convincing.
Yeah.
And boy, it's a challenge to, it's easier, I think, to see that with adults when you see that little 8-year-old and you're going, I'm going to trust God to change that kid.
Yeah, that's a little harder to.
It's scary, isn't it? But it's a lot easier than you having the responsibility to.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people who listen to God Journey. I talked to one on the road who've got kids that have, in their adult years, have wandered away from the faith, or so they think. It's really good to know that you can just love them wherever they've landed in the world.
Yep.
Love them, respect them, take an interest in them.
Yep.
Even in things you would consider sinful, affections and desire, just love them
anyways.
Yeah. And keep opening the door. It's connection that gives God's grace an opportunity to make itself known. It's not in...
Do it my way.
Yeah, the rules.
Do this, yeah.
Or like I just shared about that lady saying to her son, get saved before, because I can't go to heaven if you're in hell.
Yeah.
Putting all that fear into our parenting. And that's what religion has done. It's made us afraid of everything.
Yeah.
And it's made us afraid. And this is the wonderful part of this introductory chapter. It makes ourselves afraid that we can't change instead of grateful that we can't. God never asked us to.
Yeah.
God asked us to love.
Yeah.
And that's what we'll be changing.
Yeah.
So we'll come back and do this again.
Yeah.
Hey, one more thing before we go. If you want to participate with us in this discussion, either from reading the book or just asking questions from some of our dialogue or just opening up some situations in your own home, and you'd like Jay and my input on it, please send them to me, waynej@lifestream.org, or get to us through the contact page at thegodjourney.com. Either way, we'd like to include your voice as we work through what it means to be a godly parent.
Thank you for traveling with us today on The God Journey. You can join this conversation by visiting thegodjourney.com.